on a beautiful summer day, surrounded by green, these gleaming animals on a green turf course. There's little that is more simply aesthetically beautiful than that.
That's Teresa Gennaro, a freelance horse racing writer and publisher of the blog Brooklyn Backstretch. She's also a high school English teacher in New York. With American Pharoah preparing to race for the Triple Crown on June 6th, we asked Teresa to tell us about how she balances her love of horse racing, a sport where the stars are sometimes mistreated, with her love of animals. Here's Teresa Gennaro in her own words.
My parents, when I was quite young, 3 or 4 years old, they bought some inexpensive harness horses, the ones where the drivers don't ride on top of them, but in the sulkies behind them. We began spending many summer and fall weekends in Saratoga Springs, New York, where we eventually moved when I was 13. And my dad used to bring us to see our horses on the backstretch and in the stables. And they did very much feel like our pets. You know, we used to go back and feed them sugar and feed them carrots and pet them. And most of our horses were lucky they were quite gentle, and they suffered little children with great equanimity. My parents didn't keep the racehorses for that long. It's an expensive hobby. And when you grow up in a town with a racetrack, it's part of the social life. So just as my friends and I used to go out to the park or to the playground in the summer in our free time, we also would go to the racetrack. When I was a little girl, about 10 years old, I saw Ruffian's match race. I was watching it on television. Ruffian was undefeated at that point. She was this very dark filly. Everybody thought she was the best horse in the country. She was better than the boys. And in order to prove it, a match race was set up. So it was just her against another 3-year-old, a horse called Foolish Pleasure, and it was at Belmont Park. And like a lot of little girls then, I loved her. She was beautiful. She was an athlete. And she was a girl. My parents made sure that I got to see that race that day, which seemed like a great idea at the time, but ended up being just nightmarish. Not long into that race, she broke her leg.
Ruffian has broken down. Ruffian is stopped. Foolish Pleasure continuing.
And she didn't die instantly. They took her off the track, and she had surgery, and we learned a few days later that she had died. And it was unbearable for me. And I, in fact, didn't pay attention to horse racing for a long time after that because it seemed so unfair that that horse that ran so hard could have that happen to her. I don't even remember exactly how it happened. I got a little bit involved in some animal rescue groups in Brooklyn where I live. I have a really hard time with animal suffering, and I try to do what I can to alleviate it in very small ways. I think sometimes it's really hard to reconcile. There are times where I look at horse racing and it's hard for me to explain to people who think it should be abolished why it should not be. On a strictly animal welfare level, if you wanted to make sure that horses were not going to get hurt and they weren't going to die in horse racing, the only way to do that is to not have horses race anymore. That said, it's not going to go away, and I guess I like to hope that by being a part of it, I can be a small part of trying to make it better. That may be a rationalization for me to continue doing something I enjoy, even as I sometimes question it. I will never forget a number of years ago when I was very, very green. I went to a small track that doesn't have a great reputation because I was tracking down a horse that I had seen race a number of years earlier, and he had just taken my fancy. He hadn't been in my watch list for a long time. I had no idea what happened to him. And all of a sudden, 3 years after he retired, he showed up again and he was racing again. And I was very intrigued by this, and I tracked him down and I tracked his trainers down, and at this point, he was 7 or 8 years old. He'd had some injuries. And I had found a retirement farm that would take him if I could get the trainer to give him to me. And so I went, I traveled to, it was a little track in the Mid-Atlantic, and I introduced myself to the trainer. And as I was standing there, and this is it's a hard scrabble track. Their purses that they run for aren't very big. It's a difficult place to make a living. And I watched a man on a horse come off the track, and she was a young horse. Excuse me. And she was scared, and she was acting up, and he took his whip, he took his crop, and he just whacked her between the ears with it. And I was horrified, and I felt like I was so far out of my league. The woman was quite resistant. She was a woman trainer, and she was kind to me. She sort of indulged me. I gave her my card, and I drove away, and I said, I've done everything I can. I need to just put this behind me. And 2 years later, she called and said that she couldn't make a go of it anymore, and if I could send a van, I could have him. And he's living at a wonderful retirement farm in the Hudson Valley. Like with any industry, there are some very, very good people in it, and there are some bad people in it. As a writer, if I can spread the word about the good stories of responsible owners who do the right thing by their horses, perhaps it will encourage other people to do the same thing.
Teresa Gennaro writes about horse racing and teaches English at a high school in Brooklyn. To see a picture of Teresa with Tiebreak, the horse she retired, visit onlyagame.org.